Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
You talk about the Republicans abdicating. In what sense, what are they abdicating?
The way I think about it is, suppose that we had something like the Mueller report about a president 40 or 50 years ago when there was actual bipartisanship. Everybody in Congress, or at least the vast majority of senators, would be saying, this is terrible. We need to know more. We would have had, you know, a Howard Baker type saying, what did the president know? What did he do? When did he do it? And instead, we have a complete silence. This was a horrifying story about a presidency, and not one important Republican figure has spoken out saying this is something wrong.
Even in Watergate, though, it took time for Republicans to start to raise those questions.
But yes, but they raised them as information came out. Now a lot of information is out. And this is, let's face it, this is much worse than Watergate. This is a foreign power is involved. It's a vast pattern. It's not some one event.
Right.
It's also always interesting to do the flip test that if this was a Democrat who had done this, the Republicans would be, if not moving to impeachment, calling for it.
Of course. Well, it really wouldn't matter. We know that if Hillary Clinton had been, had gotten that extra 100,000 votes in the three swing states, there would have been attempts to impeach her within a month of.
If Hillary Clinton had hired Chelsea Clinton to work in the White House and send her overseas to meet with Saudi Arabia or wherever.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's hardly even worth saying. But yes, imagine what Republicans would be saying about the same information if it was a Democrat.
You talk about they've abdicated this. Essentially, the deep-pocketed Republicans have embraced Trump in a way that they didn't in 2016. You think it's all about the tax cut?
Yeah, there was some explicit stuff. Some of the big donors were saying, if you don't give us this tax cut, then we're going to give up. Don't expect anything from us. But he got the tax cut through. It's the only major piece of legislation he got through, but he got a big tax cut for the wealthy. And that's what the party, the true base, the base, not the base out there in the countryside, but the base in the money men, that's what they care about.
Oh, that's so important. That's so important. This piece by Paul Krugman called The Great Republican Abdication, it's in the homework today at randyrhodes.com. It's free. Just, click on that. But if you haven't read it, you really need to read it. You should carry it around in your pocket. You should give it to anybody that argues with you and just walk away. Just say, if you won't read that, then there's nothing I could do to help you other than advise you to go get a passport because you're going to need it. There is a terrible, terrible showdown coming. If we're not in a constitutional crisis right now, we are certainly in a constitutional standoff between the legislative branch, which is the Article 1 branch of government, and the executive branch, which is the Article 2 branch of government. Donald Trump is literally ordering people to violate the law on his behalf. He is ordering people to not comply, to defy actual subpoenas. He wants to tie everything up in courts and run the clock out while he continues to obstruct justice. Now, the beautiful thing is that when he leaves, if he leaves, all of these protections for him evaporate and he will die in prison. And this is why he will not let go of power so easily. Now, what happened in 2016 with the Russian interference in our election, which no Republican has spoken about or has said was terrible or has said needs to be addressed? I mean, the Department of Homeland Security, Christian Nielsen, was actually told, this is the Department of Homeland Security that was invented by W after 9/11 to prevent America from being attacked in the real world and in the virtual world. And Christian Nielsen was told never by Mulvaney, never to bring up Russia or protecting us from Russian interference with Donald Trump because he will go crazy. So what you know now is that the president will not stand on that wall. The president will not protect our vote. The president will not protect our country from interference, meddling, et cetera, from a foreign adversary. He will not do that. And in fact, Christian Nielsen was told to disband the cyber intelligence unit at the Department of Homeland Security, and she did that. So we don't have a cybersecurity department in the Department of Homeland Security that was invented after the terrorist attack of 9/11. I mean, this is all very, very strange. This is all very, very, very scary. And it's because the president knows he needs help. The president knows he could not have won this without help. He knows that he could not have won this without the Russians. He knows that he could not have won this. Now, Jared Kushner is being so smarmy and disingenuous and say, oh, so what the Russians do? They bought a couple of Facebook ads? The 448 pages of Mueller's report, you know, 410 of them being legible, the others being redacted, draws a much starker, a much more severe picture of what happened to us. The Russians hacked, they stole, they deployed, they weaponized, the president read the stolen material and insinuated that something bad was in there. The president asked for Russian help. The president got Russian help. The president, wanted Hillary hacked. The Russians hacked Hillary. And then he proceeded to obstruct justice. Now, can you imagine if this was done by, well, they're still saying Hillary Clinton is the one to, can you imagine if she had become president? She'd be impeached by now for whatever, for using an insecure server. So Paul Krugman is now wondering whether or not our democracy itself can survive this law, this person who uses all the tools in the toolbox and some that aren't even permissible to be used to protect himself and not us, not to defend us or protect us from any enemy. Oh, no, to get help from enemies. And serve us up to enemies.
One of the things that I've talked with former CIA Director General Michael Hayden a lot about, and he sort of uses this term, is the thin veneer of civilization, that we like to think democratic institutions are so deeply embedded in bedrock that you know, any change would come slowly and would be thwarted ultimately by the institutions of democracy. But you write that it's very much up in the air whether America as we know it will survive.
Sure. I mean, institutions are, in the end, people. You know, the institutions depend upon the willingness of people to obey norms and occasionally to say, okay, this is not how we do things in our country. And this didn't start with Trump. There's been a steady erosion of those norms. It wasn't Trump who basically decided to steal a Supreme Court seat. It
Right.
wasn't Trump who basically turned the legitimate investigative powers of Congress into a way to harass the other party. So this has been building for a long time, and we're very close to the edge right now.
When you say close to the edge, what does that mean to you?
I think we'll on paper we'll stay a democracy, but I worry very much about a sort of Hungary type situation where you have on paper the institutions of democracy, you even hold votes, but the system is rigged, and in fact it's become effectively you have one party rule.
You really believe that?
Oh, it could. We could have this conversation 2 years from now and say that it happened. Or maybe we couldn't have this conversation because the media would be muzzled. But we're very close. If Trump is reelected, if Republicans retake control of the House, what are the odds that we will really have a functioning democracy after that?
I mean, that's a pretty terrifying idea.
If you're not terrified, you're not paying attention.
Let that sink in.